I'm just going to invite Abs up. Abs is our speaker for today. Abs comes from Encounter Church in Selly Oak. I think I got that right. And she is the youth pastor there. I first heard Abs speak at Limitless Festival at the youth camp this summer, and she is an excellent communicator. No pressure. she has a passion for youth work and also to talk about mental health with you today as well. She took a session at Limitless Festival, which was on social media and mental health, and it was absolutely brilliant. So really looking forward to it today. Thanks, Abs.
Well, good morning, everyone. As Josh has mentioned, I am Abs. I am a youth pastor, and I'm also a qualified therapist. I'm really, really passionate about mental health. And that makes me bivocational, which sounds really fancy. What it means is that I have two part-time jobs, and everyone sees me as a part-time worker. So it just means that really God has decided that rather than have a simple track in either direction, I'm constantly weaving these two things together. And Pete Reed, I'm not sure if you've heard of him, he came to speak at Encounter Church a few years ago, and he had a word of knowledge for me that he was going to collide my professional competencies with my spiritual giftings. And I've really seen God do that over the last couple of years. I've led some like parent summits at CLC, which is down the road from us, Christian Life Centre, and spoken to parents about how to support their teenagers' mental health at church and stuff. And that's been incredible. So I'm really just praying that what I have for you this morning is going to minister to you and also provide some clarity on some of the things that I'm really passionate about as well. Is that good? Cool. So thank you for having me. You've been so welcoming. And as I was praying for all of you, I know that this is a difficult time in the church, and I really felt that what God wants for you is from Romans 15:13, which is my prayer for you this morning. So it's, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And I think that hope really is in the DNA for us as believers. Like, we carry something that the world just doesn't know much about. But as I was preparing for today, I really feel like that is specific to this church as well. And so I'm going to invite you to do something a little bit strange, but I'm a guest, so I can do that. And I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes. If you're not comfortable to do that, then maybe just lower your gaze about 2 meters in front of yourself so it's a restful gaze. And you're going to need to really rely on your imagination, because I want you to imagine that it is really hot, just like really, really hot, sweltering heat. And you can feel the heat of the sun just beating down on your back. Feels like your neck has been burning for hours. Your mouth is like the driest you can ever remember it being, but you keep trying to swallow anyway because your throat is just that desperate. You can almost taste salt in your mouth. So you're surrounded by desert, and the ground is barren, like sandy and dry. And like I said, it's excruciatingly hot. And you have to move. You need to find shade. But you're moving so slowly and like barely sweating because you're just so hot. There's like nothing left. But you know you won't survive in the sun. Your only hope is to find shade. And then somewhere in the distance, as far as your eyes can see, there's something, but you can't quite make it out. Could be a person, maybe. Could be a tree. From somewhere in your gut, you get this rush of energy. Your mind has been sparked by the prospect of shade. So you can feel your steps quickening and adrenaline's been released in your body. You could be hallucinating. Who knows? But there's this wave of hope that is welling within you. And as you get closer, it seems like there are more figures, more objects. It's got to be trees. You're almost certain. Eventually, you make it to the scene of your dreams. It's an oasis. There's shade. There's water. You're going to be okay. So you can open your eyes now. Oasis. The highly reliable dictionary of Google informed me that it's not just a band or like a really nice drink, but it's a fertile spot in the desert where water is found. And not many of us spend a great deal of time in deserts. It's quite understandable. Fair enough. But as I prepared to speak to you today, I really felt that what's going to be quite important for you in this season is to recognize the desert that you're in, so that as a church, you can recognize the kind of oasis that you need to be. Because when we're talking about the Sahara, it's really clear that in an oasis, you need shade and water. But in South Birmingham, in the Western world, there's a lot of barren land. And actually, as an oasis here, a house of God, there's so many things that the world needs from us. So I'm going to speak a little bit about that today, because I believe you've been called to be hope bearers. And so what is hope? Hebrews 11, verse 1, talks a little bit about faith. And it says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So things hoped for, I think that's the things that we dream about, the things that we long for in the depths of our being. Like I mentioned, in the Sahara Desert, you might be dreaming of water. But what do you long for? Do you even dare to dream about it, let alone ask God for it, and then have faith to believe that it will come to pass? Because if faith is the assurance of things hoped for, you can't have faith without hope. The basis of our Christian faith is quite neatly summarized in John 3:16. We're quite familiar with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have an eternal life. And God loves the world. That is one of the things that comes through at the very beginning of that. God so loved the world, you and me, them out there as well. He gave his Son. He sacrificed a part of himself, God incarnate, for the sake of our souls, so that we could be reconciled to him for eternity. So if that is the very basis of our faith, what is our hope? In that, what is it that is being fulfilled, the thing that we're longing for? What is it that we get? And to me, I think it's that true reconciliation part. It's that eternity with God thing, that we'll be one with God, just like Jesus prayed in John 17. In verse 3, he said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one that you have sent, Jesus Christ." And then in verse 21, he continues in this prayer for us, for the world, for the disciples. And he says, "May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Such reconciliation with God, so close to God that the world can believe, so close to one another, such love for one another that the world knows that we've got something that they don't have. That was Jesus's prayer for us. And so that if the world believes, then they too can have that eternity with God. Now, if our hope is that we can be reconciled with God, that we can have eternity in unity with perfection himself, that God of love and joy and peace is with us all the time, the holy God that we've been worshiping this morning in song, a God of majesty and victory, the one who created us, our maker and our father and our friend, if he's the one that we desire so desperately, then I kind of think, actually, because that's how we were created, that is what everyone deeply desires, but they don't know. Unity, harmony, and peace. You know, people talk about world peace. If you could have anything, what would it be? World peace. But no one's experienced world peace. Like, there's never been a time in history that the world was truly peaceful. So where do we get this desire for peace from? Where do we get this idea that actually to be truly united and to be on the same page and one in mind, that would be the best thing for us? If not for the fact that that is exactly how God created us to be. And so the people hope for things that they can't see, and they don't necessarily have faith to believe. But we in here are the hope bearers. We have the conviction of what is hoped for, of what we all desperately long for. So if we were created to be in total harmony with one another and with God, then why isn't that the case? And, you know, for the people who have been in church for a while, we know it's Genesis 3, yeah? The fall. That when sin came into the world, the fall damaged everything. So I really want to encourage you to read Genesis 3, 8 to 24 for yourself later on this week at some point, because it's quite long. But I have pulled out a few bits that I think are going to be quite important for the rest of my talk. We focus quite a lot on the fracture that came into the world because of our relationship with God being broken because mankind sinned. But so many other fractures also took place in instantly in that moment. And they're really well articulated in the next verses. So the first fracture is between us and ourselves. So between me and me. And that comes across in verse 10, Genesis 3, verse 10. This is Adam speaking. He said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So God's been searching for Adam. He's normally been walking side by side with him in easy communion and conversation. And Adam's explaining that he heard God coming and he was afraid because he was naked, so he hid. So Adam is experiencing shame from his own naked body for the first time. And his relationship with himself has been fractured. He sees that he is not perfect and that God is perfect. That he's not holy and God is holy. And he's exposed and he's uncomfortable with it. And nothing had changed in his physicality from one day to the next. It was just how Adam saw himself. And that's because sin came into the world. And then that put an immediate distance between him and himself, but also between him and God, because if he can't love himself, then how is he supposed to love anyone else? And that comes in again in verse 12, because this is the fracture between us and others. God's asking him why he ate the fruit, and he replies, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." So he immediately shirks his responsibility onto Eve, effectively throws her under a bus. The same woman that he declared was flesh of his bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that he loves so much, created from him. All of a sudden, he's just like, that woman. And that's because sin has come into the world and man's relationship with others has now been fractured. Furthermore, our relationship with creation has been fractured. And this is really clear in verses 17 to 19, which I'm just going to read as they appear. So to Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree from which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since you were taken from it, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Now, however it is that you feel about like sustainability and climate change, we can't deny that fracture that we have with the earth itself. Like I said, we rightfully first address the fracture that we have between us as mankind and God. Spoiler alert, mankind was driven out of the Garden of Eden in verse 24, so we're pretty far from God at that point. And we prioritize reconciliation with God when we speak about redemption and salvation, that we're coming back to God. But those other fractures that took place at the same time are still equally relevant to how we live our lives here on earth. So when we're talking about the things that we hope for, I think it comes down to, as well, Revelation 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So in the process of redemption, being reconciled to God, the pain goes away. That means that we live at peace with ourselves, that we are able to flourish more freely in relationships with other people, that we're able to have a better relationship with the new creation, with the new earth. But right now, that's not where we are. So that brokenness that we have with ourselves, even though we might be saved, even though we might love God and know that he loves us, we're not entirely reconciled. We're not in the new earth. We're not in our new bodies. And so it is difficult to fully love ourselves the way that God loves us. And it's a struggle that we're in the church and outside of the church. In our nation, 1 in 4 of us is currently experiencing, or will experience at some time statistically, a common mental health problem, anxiety or depression. But they actually more commonly exist together, so it's quite a weird way of putting it. And that means a massive element of the struggle that we face because of the original sin, because of the fall, is almost entirely unseen and a part of our everyday and our every interaction. And can I highlight that right now, that struggle that we face isn't because of any sin that we are carrying. I'm talking about the sin that came into the world in Genesis 3. Because of that sin, we struggle to relate well to ourselves. Just like how, you know, it's so much harder for us to plant and eat than it was for Adam in the early days of Eden. And if crops fail now in our society, we tend not to blame, like, you know, the sinful farmer, but actually just the planet. Yeah, sometimes, like, I mean, did you know now you can't really get as much cod in the North Sea because of climate change? We're getting more prawns and stuff. Now, that's not because, you know, I sinned. It's because we are sinful and we live in a broken and fractured world. So if the ground has been hardened, so are our hearts. And it's not great, but it's okay because of the hope that we carry. The ability to love ourselves and our bodies well, to sleep through the night, to think helpful thoughts, to experience peace and enjoy every single moment have been corrupted. And that's not to say that salvation isn't wonderful. Salvation gives me hope for reconciliation. An eternity with God started the very day that I gave my life to him, and I began the journey of being redeemed. But until I experience all of God in all his perfection, I'm not going to be reconciled to the perfect version of me. Does that make sense? And so even though I will continually surrender to God and ask for him to transform me and bring my mind and my soul closer to him, I have to know that I'm going to be on this journey until that day. And it leaves me vulnerable to the things that are in this world. It leaves me vulnerable to mental health, to have disordered mental health. It leaves me vulnerable to physical health problems. But I have faith to believe, actually, that God heals, even on this side of heaven. And I don't know anyone as a Christian who who's never had any kind of physical ailment. Yeah? But I do know many who have had them and prayed and been healed in that moment. And I know many who have had them and prayed and not this side of heaven. I know lots of Christians who struggle with mental health problems and have had them and prayed and been healed. And then I know lots who have had them and prayed and not. And I know many Christians, actually, who have had cancer for a moment and then been healed the next day. And I know many who had it and have been healed through medicine. And I know many who had it and weren't. And that's the mystery of this side of eternity. I don't know why. But what I do know is that God is good. So in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." And that's what we hope for and have faith to believe. Now, like, it's very easy to stand here on a platform and just declare all of these things. But walking it day to day can be a lot harder. I know that for myself, about 4 years ago now, I was told that I had an 80% chance of developing multiple sclerosis within a year. So pretty bleak. And I lost sight in one of my eyes, and I was struggling with loads of like physical functions. I wasn't able to think very clearly. I wasn't able to do very well on my exams that year. And there wasn't really much anyone could do. So my mom, really strong woman of God, gathered the elders in the church, her fellowship at the time, and they all prayed for me on WhatsApp. They got me to come down to London every now and then, in case you can't tell, I'm from London. And I was healed. You can see that now. But I wasn't healed in that moment. I was still blind in one of my eyes, and people kept saying, "You are healed." And I was like, "Great." But I can't see. People would say, you know, that God has assured me of your healing. It is well in Jesus' name. All these great Christian things that we say. And I couldn't see out of my eye. And because of how sure my mum was about my healing, every like 20 minutes she'd be like, "Can you see yet?" Do you know how annoying that is? I was like, "I promise you, mum, when I can see, you'll be the first to know." It didn't change anything. She still kept asking me. And it was amazing the day that I got my sight back, and I've been going back and I saw a neurologist, and he was like, "There's nothing evidently wrong with you. The lesions on your brain have shrunk, but the disorder I was diagnosed with is a permanent one. So I have a temporary driving license," because no one, you know, you can't have had it and then stopped having it. It doesn't make sense. And I think that is the same with a lot of the things that we go through. Whether it is on this side of heaven or on the other side, we are being healed. Jesus Christ is our healer. That is true, whether we are experiencing it or not. And even though I have hope to believe and faith in prayer that anyone in any situation can be healed, I also know that God is good. And that actually when things don't work out the way we desperately want them to, he's still good. And he works things together for our good. Some of the worst things that I've experienced have made me the person that I am today. And I, even though it's very hard to still not wish that those things had happened, I can't actually imagine it any other way. And I'm grateful for where I am. And it takes a while to see that point, But God sees it, he knows it, he loves you, and he cares about what you're going through, whether he changes it or not. So, to finish for today, I want to remind you of my original prayer for you this morning, which is Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I love with all joy and peace in believing. Because hope can be really desperate sometimes. We hope for something like a promotion or for healing or for children. And we hope. And then sometimes it might feel easier not to hope, because then you can't be disappointed. It can feel easier to just allow apathy to seep in. That can be an easy way out. Just stop caring and you'll stop despairing. But without hope, how can we claim to have faith in our God? And without hope, how are we going to get the energy to pray for those things and to partner with heaven and see them realized on earth? And so I want to pray for the joy and peace in believing that the God of hope can fill us with. And I really want to invite you as well to do that. So I'm going to have a little bit of a response time now. And I've got two things that would be really good to just respond to for ourselves. So this first one, I think would be good if we have people come to the front and get prayer. So I said that we want God to bring us joy and peace in believing. And I want you to believe truly again this morning that our Father in heaven loves you so much. Every pain that you've experienced, he feels keenly, and he is still working for our good. And in this time, I want him to bring you joy and peace right here in this moment. So if you think that's you, can I invite you to come forward? And we can just have a little bit of prayer. God, you love us all so much. You created us because of the abundance of love that you have, and you want to share it with us. So God, I pray that with every fiber of our being in this moment, that you would just bring a revelation of that love right now. God, sometimes things are really, really hard. But one of the things that you've also asked us to pray for is peace that transcends all understanding. Your peace is not based on our circumstances. It's not based on what we see. But actually, it's based on the fact that you are here with us. So God of peace, would you just reveal that now to our hearts as well as our minds, Lord? Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. We welcome you here. More of your Spirit, Lord. More of you, yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for meeting us where we are now. Thank you, Lord, for providing this opportunity. If you're still receiving prayer, that's fine. Just continue, keep praying. This message has all been about really the gospel, and it feels quite weird to preach the gospel and not ask if anyone would like to respond to it. So there may not be anyone, there may just be one person, but if you would like to say yes to Jesus and his love and his sacrifice so that you can be redeemed and reconciled to him like we've spoken about, so that you can be one in this love with God and follow him, then I just want to invite you to repeat this prayer with me. So, dear God, thank you that you are Lord of all, and that you sent your only son to die for me. I'm sorry for the times that I have chosen to go against you. And I thank you that you have forgiven me. I want to follow you now for all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And then if you've said that prayer for the first time this morning, then can I invite you to please come and speak to Robin or myself? I'll be here so that we can just journey with you a little bit on that as well. And just before I go, as believers, we're not just called to have hope, but to abound in it. So that others can be drawn to us and they can begin their journey, their hope journey as well. So keep praying for more of that hope, because it's what separates us. And I really think that God then starts to give us a lot more of what we're praying for if we just dare to dream that he might want to do it for us. So thank you for having me and listening. That's all I have got.